Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started. It's Do the Right Thing! Show that wants to do the right thing in any situation. For example, what is the right way to escape an Egyptian mummy? Put her in a home and stop visiting and tell the grandkids she's dead. We're the Phoenix in London, I'm Danielle Ward, and with me trying to do the right thing today, he's the Jimmy Cricket of the Kylo Ren generation, it's Michael Legg! And with him, he's one half of the most charismatic TV double act since Whiteley and Vorderman, it's Richard Osman! And on my right, she won't relax until every single person on Earth likes her, it's Margaret Kayvon Smith!
Fuck you!
And with her, she's the Omidjalili of the Amazon Prime generation, it's Chappie Corzandi! It's round one.
Importance of being right.
Just like an American tramp enthusiast looking for pictures of bombs online, I've run into some unexpected problems on the internet. In this round, I'm going to give each team a scenario and they're going to tell me what is the right thing to do according to Angelina Jolie and Brad Computer. Look, can't afford any writers. Michael and Richard, this is for you. You are both beautiful princesses. One of you is loads of fun, the other is all serious because her hand doubles as a freeze gun or something. After a little bit of flirting, Michael agrees to marry a prince, which upsets Richard, who runs away and causes an eternal winter in Lewisham. This is an allegory for Richard being frigid in the pants. However, all this is not your biggest problem, because after a girly weekend, bonding in the hills of South London, just a backpack and a pop-up tent between you, you happen across a lone wolf. And what is the right way to avoid a wolf attack according to Wilderness Urban Survival Blog? I'll rephrase that. You see a wolf, what do you do?
I worry that we shouldn't be joking about it. I think famously you're not supposed to pretend you've ever been chased by a wolf, are you?
Why?
I'm almost certain there's a precedent. I wouldn't want to be, for example, in 3 days' time being chased by a wolf, shout wolf, and everyone goes, yeah, I just heard you the right thing, mate. You're having a song. I think you're playing a very dangerous game.
Have you ever had a close encounter with a scary animal, Michael?
Yeah. I had a lovely birthday years ago in Canada, in this really lovely house in the woods. And I could hear it howling. And I went, oh, wow, isn't that really nice? It's really ghostly and it's really amazing. Come out, everyone. It's brilliant. And I sort of went really way out into where all the trees are. That's where they came from, in the woods. And that's when these people from Canada who know about the woods were going, get the fuck back in the house. Apparently, I was being surrounded by coyotes.
You're very deferential to animals, though, Michael. I have heard you actually say that you didn't want to go on a picnic because it would bother the wasps. You went towards howling.
What did you think was going to happen?
Well, I thought one of them would bite me, then it would get shot, and then I'd live for the rest of my life as a werewolf. Then I find out they're coyotes.
But
rubbish.
Aren't they fun? Oh, no, that's hyenas. They're
a lot.
Coyotes aren't the fun ones.
No.
Fun coyotes.
Can
yeah,
they?
Yeah, of course they are.
Evidence.
Well, I have 3 pet coyotes.
That's good evidence.
Painting tunnels on walls. Loads of fun. Chappie, do you think wolves are sexy?
Finally, someone's asked.
Well, my favourite film is American Werewolf in London, and it's quite hot when he changes and he's kind.
He killed several people.
Yes, but he regretted it. Oh. Yeah, he dies. He wouldn't eat the woman he loved, though. I met her on a train. What was her name?
Jenny Agutter.
Jenny Agutter, right? I was coming from Exeter. By the way, this isn't my best anecdote. I have others. And there was genuinely leaves on the line, so we all had to exit the train at Exeter, and everyone was there. There was like mutiny going on, what are we going to do? And then a group of about 15 of us went, let's hire a minibus and go to the next station. And Jenny Agutter comes along and says, can I join your group? And I said...
She was driving a minibus.
What is it with Jenny Agutter and stopping fucking trains?
I was so proud of myself because I said in that moment, if you can't sort out the railway, who can? And then she, when we got the next train, she had a first class ticket, I had a standard class ticket, but she sat in standard with me because she felt she ought to, because I think I just looked really needy. And we shared a bottle of wine. When I say we shared it, she's teetotal. seen anyone run so fast once they arrived at Euston the way she said goodbye to me. We're tight.
Michael and Richard, back to the question.
They're just dogs, aren't they? They're fine, wolves. It wouldn't worry me at all.
I've never been eaten by one.
I think I'd just be a wolf whisperer.
What do you say? What, sexy?
To a wolf?
Yeah.
Yeah, sexy, yeah.
Like dirty talk.
Do you know why I wouldn't? Because I don't really know what wolves would be like.
I don't know what dirty talk is. People go on about it. I don't know.
What dirty talk?
It all sounds sarcastic, anything I say.
Oh, yeah, I really like that.
So hard.
Oh, yeah, do that harder.
There's a fact here that Ben's put in. It's illegal to impersonate a wolf in Yellowstone Park, so you couldn't talk dirty to it.
Well, no, but I would be doing interspecies dirty talk.
Yeah.
Which actually is the dirtiest one.
It is. It's gross.
Have you got an actual answer, Margaret or Shappy? What would you do with a wolf?
Climb a tree.
Climb a tree.
Dig a pit.
If I say I have a terrible, like my worst fear is being eaten by a lion, and that's kind of why I'm scared of dogs as well. Anything with teeth really properly terrifies me.
Anything with teeth.
Except Jenny Agutter. I love her.
So you don't like combs or cysts?
No. Sometimes when I look at those, you know those weird times in the middle of the night when you just look at weird shit on the internet and you look at like someone that was born with their own twin inside their belly, normally all you see of that twin is like teeth and a blob of hair. I don't like those either.
Anyway, have another drink, Jenny. We're only at Taunton.
If I met a wolf, I think I'd pretend it was a bear and play dead.
Aren't wolves scavengers as well as hunters? You're just a ready-made meal for
them. Or just sit there with an apple in my mouth.
To be honest, Shabby, I can't really imagine that you could stop talking while you were playing.
Why is that corpse taking occasional sips of wine?
Richard and Michael, would you try and stare the wolf down?
No, because they don't like that shit. I've done that with my dog.
Dogs love it if you stare at them.
Your dog's weird. If you stare at a dog, it'll fuck you up.
I would think, don't look it in the eyes.
Yep.
Just be insouciant.
Don't they eat you if you look away? Hmm? Isn't that the danger?
Don't they eat you if you look away? That's the, I think you're thinking of the weeping statues.
So neither look at them nor look away. Is this where we've got to?
What I would do, I would look at them but wearing sunglasses. So I'm looking at him, but he doesn't know I am.
Ben, what are the answers?
So many answers given, and I'm 2.5 points is what I'm giving out. According to the Wilderness Urban Survival blog, do not make eye contact.
Oh, yeah.
That's taken as an act of aggression and might trigger an attack, so point for Michael and Richard for that. Don't run, as that will only stimulate the wolf to attack, and you can't outrun them. Now, the Wilderness Urban Survival blog seemed very keen that you actually fight the wolf. Just in case there are any listeners listening now who are in front of a wolf wondering what to do, I did look elsewhere. Other websites suggest you should back away slowly, keeping the wolf in front of you. So half a mark for Michael and Richard for I can't even pronounce the word, being...
Insouciant.
Insouciant, lovely. And a point to Margaret, wolves can't climb trees, so if you can get up one, you'll be safe.
Good answers. So, Margaret...
They weren't that good, considering we gave about 20.
They were all brilliant. Margaret and Shappy, you realise there's a lot of money to be made writing songs that sound a bit like U2 songs, but aren't U2 songs. You know, snog me, marry me, avoid me. Where the streets have no name, like on Apple Maps. Everyone loves you and you're so cool and rich that the BBC News people invite you to their Christmas party. It's great fun. Well, your favourites are there. Hugh Edwards, Fiona Bruce, Pudsey. When Kirsty Walk comes over to say hello, there's a little twinkle in her eye. You know she's not going to be happy with a handshake. So what is the right way to kiss socially, according to Debrett's.com?
What, at a newsreader's party?
At any party. See, you're a very nice person. Do you like
when you say that, yeah, I know you're saying that because I've been friends with you a long time and I've been forcing you to hug against your will.
I don't mind
most of that time. No, I can feel the working class coming out of you every time.
I don't like touching people.
British people are awful for this because there just isn't a... I mean, I tried to go for a handshake... but especially in the media, that's not enough. And also a producer shook my hand once and I went to shake his hand and it was wet. And I don't mean just slightly wet, like soaking. And I'm pretty sure that's how I got pregnant.
Well, you know, my best friend since I was 5 years old is a woman called Penny. And she's like you, Danielle. She doesn't do touch. She's like C-3PO. Like, if I try and hug her, she just holds herself stiff as a board.
Really count.
And once the weird hug thing has finished, she's like, if you'll not be needing me, I'll shut down for a while. And she finds me awful, like, in every way. It's just the fact that we have
And that's
such
your
a...
best friend.
Yeah.
This is like, very much like your top anecdote.
I said to her, right, I said, if we met today, do you reckon we would have made whatever connection we made at five? And been as close as we are. And she said, I don't know, I can't imagine where I'd meet you.
I find it very... In fact, it freaked me out when I first moved to London and it was, why are we hugging? Yeah. And even weirder, when you just saw someone like 2 days previously and we're shaking hands. I just saw you. Why are we shaking hands?
2 days?
Oh my goodness, that's odd.
Do you think that's weird?
No, I think you're weird.
Yeah. I hug people if I come back from the toilet. You know.
I know. Why don't you just wash your hands? This is why I don't like social kissing. I don't like the kiss. I once met Brittany Murphy.
Oh.
Yeah. And we went landed for the social kiss on the cheek and we accidentally kissed on the lips. And she's dead now.
Heath Ledger.
And me and Stalin.
Those three.
Rich, you're very tall.
Yeah.
What is the lowest...
I'll give you that.
That's a point.
A point to Daniel.
What's the lowest height you'll bother with before you just go for a head rub?
You've got as a taller person in any social kiss, you have to take the lead. We do a thing in my company, and every year we have a big worldwide event where everybody from every country comes along. We all meet, and that is a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Not everyone from every country.
Because I am being invited.
Everyone from every country, apart from Northern Ireland, just because of the trouble. So since you have to meet somebody from every country in the world and greet them. Every single country, and they all have different ways of kissing. So, you know, most people do two, which is kind of fine. The Belgians do three. The Italians have sex with you. That's how they kiss you. Which, once you're used to it, is fine. But every single person you meet is incredibly stressful because, you know, by and large, you can do one on one cheek, one on the other cheek, done. Absolutely done. But the foreigners, they won't have it.
I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before, but I'm from Iran originally. And Iranians are kissing. We kiss on greeting. You don't have to know someone ever so
well. How many?
Two.
Okay.
Like there's everybody.
That's
and then
more than two.
There was lots of people at a party. And then I had this, you know, like when you are foreignish, sometimes people fancy you because they think you're really exotic, right? And I had a boyfriend that thought I was really exotic, and he read The Lonely Planet Guide to Iran. And he thought...
So who are you?
Well, to come round and talk to my parents, because he thought, you know, my parents, having lived in England for 40 years, they wouldn't be au fait with the culture, you know. But he'd read that Brennan's kiss, and even the men kiss one another. So whenever he came over, my dad took to hide him behind the curtain. Because my dad is a bit like you, Danielle. He doesn't like to be touched, you know.
Don't make it sound weird. Most people don't like to be touched.
No, most people do like to be touched. Most people do like to be touched. Yeah.
Matt from Swade's brother just hugged me. Ben.
I'm going to give Michael and Richard 1.5, and Margaret and Shafi, I'm going to give 1. Because according to debrets.com, kissing is taking over from handshaking. However, it's not appropriate in most professional situations. The double kiss, which is usually the man kissing the woman's right cheek first, is the norm among younger people. So I give Richard 1.5 for that, because he said double kiss, and also, talking about the taller person having to sort of take the initiative, statistically, men are taller than women, so I sort of gave 0.5 mark for that.
Gets a mark for being tall?
Yeah.
What kind of ism is that?
I can't believe I only got 0.5 mark for it.
Very slight contact is best, and no sound effects are needed.
Meow.
Margaret, I gave a mark for talking about wanting to handshake, because if you really...
A dry one.
A dry handshake, yeah. If you really object to being kissed by people, you may extend a straight arm and offer to shake hands, which should give a clear message.
That you're a Nazi.
At the end of that round, what are the points, producer Ben?
Well, Michael and Richard have 3, and Margaret and Chappie have 2.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Just like Michael Legg's foot lump, this round is agony. In this round, I'll be getting the panel to answer some real-life problems from our audience. But before that, let's give their brains some advice exercise. Margaret, can you read this, please?
Yes.
It's very long.
Dear Agony Aunt, my husband and I are child-free, but when my friend Sue decided to take a 16-day cruise with her husband, we agreed to let their 2 teens stay with us. Sue assured us they would cover any costs. So we took the kids to school and to swimming lessons and snowmobile classes. I cooked all of their meals. We ran the dishwasher daily instead of twice a week. We also did 3 times as much laundry, etc., etc. Meanwhile, the kids were lazy and useless and did not help with any chores. And the older one, who'd just gotten off probation for making threats against school officials, stole a car, okay, and arranged for his own parents' house to be burglarized. This has taken a turn. We spent countless hours in the police station dealing with this while his parents were unreachable at sea. When Sue returned, we asked for $500 in compensation, citing actual expenses, including the additional utility bill costs. But she accused us of fraud. She's also implied that we should have been happy to live out the fantasy of being parents. I'm appalled, hurt, and angry. Is there any way of resolving this and preserving our friendship?
No. Richard and Michael, what would your advice be for this poor woman?
I think it's a little bit too late for the advice I would have given.
She's never going to get those friends back. So, you know, take them to court. Yay! I enjoyed that.
Margaret?
Yeah, I just think this is ridiculous. It's kind of... I mean, $500 is just a weird... I mean, what's that going to do?
The snowmobile classes.
No, that seems very much like their choice to send them to snowmobile. I mean, what even is that?
Especially in Saudi Arabia.
Sand Oldsmobile, at least.
I don't have children, and sometimes I run my dishwasher twice a day.
Just for the company.
The sound of a dishwasher. That is lonely.
So, did no one think this woman should have asked for some money?
No, she shouldn't. She should.
The kids sound awful, though.
Yeah, they do. But like Margaret says, what's the money going to do? There are bigger issues here than money.
Yeah.
I think that $500 is a tax on their stupidity, essentially, for taking it on the first place.
Totally.
It's just ridiculous.
I would give you a round of applause if I was this audience.
Thank you.
They're spiteful.
That's fine. A cat or a dog or a goldfish, fine. Don't look after people's teenagers.
No.
I have to say, though, when I had children and a dog, I found it much easier to find babysitters for the kids and the dog.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
Dogs are much more difficult to look after.
Really?
Because they don't grow up. There's at no point you can plonk them in front of CBeebies and go, Mummy's going to go and have a 2-hour shower now.
But they do leave home a lot sooner.
Michael, you're childless.
Child-free is the term now.
Child disinterested.
How much would you expect to get paid for looking after Margaret's kids?
The first time I met Margaret's child, very rude indeed. So quite a bit.
Do you know what? You would have to pay to look after my kids. I would not.
All right, I'll pay. How much? I really want to look after your fucking kids. And I will smash their cunting little faces.
Answer to this question.
You're all very down on their relationship. The agony aunt. So this advice comes from the friend or foe column at slate.com. Their response was, only a brave soul volunteers to house two out of control teenagers for more than 2 weeks. So I gave Richard and Shappy a point for that. But your friend's failure to have raised upstanding citizens does not in any way excuse your pettiness.
Yes.
So I gave Margaret a point for that. If you don't mind me saying so, you and Sue, each with her own distinct brand of parsimoniousness, deserve each other. This is why you should make up. Be the bigger person and apologise first. Good luck.
So, you've seen how a real agony aunt does it. Let's try you out with some audience problems. Is Anna in the audience? Anna, who is learning to drive. Anna's problem is, I need to learn how to drive, but I am terrified of killing people through my driving. How do I overcome this?
Do you live in London, Anna?
No, I live in Northampton.
No.
It'll be fine, they can take the loss.
Do you drive, Shappy?
Well, I recently took my theory test for the third time and passed it.
I was also recently, I'm not showing off, but I got diagnosed with adult attention deficit disorder.
I'm really not showing off.
Who by Shappy? Everybody.
We're all looking forward to you being on the road.
Imagine ever there being a scenario where I put my two children in the car and get into it and drive somewhere. My parents live off the Hanger Lane gyratory. We'll never visit there.
Which my husband thought was a disco for a long time.
So in that, I passed by one point. For the first few hazard detection things, I got 5 out of 5. And then I got 4 out of 5. And then less. And for the last 4, I got 0 out of 5 for the hazard detection. And it was exactly like exams in school, where I'm like, I'm fucking bored now. This is shit. I'm not going to answer any of them. But I passed by one point. And I don't think anyone that loses concentration in the exam should ever be in charge of a vehicle.
She was very good up to junction 2, but then it's
I promised a friend that I would never learn to drive because I admitted that when I was listening to music, I'd often end up crossing the road, you know, at the chorus, rather than when the cars are starting. Hey, and here's the mid, late, go! Promise me you will never, ever drive. So I have, I've stuck to that. But you're probably more sensible, right?
My dad says because I'm so anxious about driving that I should be a safer driver, but I have passed out behind the wheel before, so...
I feel like I shouldn't say this, but I don't think you should drive.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
Well, the only reason that I'm thinking I should have to drive now, I've got a proper graduate job and everything, and it's an hour and a half on the bus in the morning, and it's only about 20 minutes by car.
Oh.
So, that is...
I think you might be getting the wrong bus.
Us don't drive. Do you drive, Richard?
I don't know. That's
not
Shappy is the closest we have to a driver. Shappy.
That's why we've never pulled off a bank heist.
Yeah. I was learning how to drive, and then my driving instructor died. We went in for a cheek kiss, accidentally touched lips. Guy's dead.
You know that passing my theory test, I thought, because some
oh
of the...
Oh, God, she's the king of the panel now.
All right, Lewis Hamilton.
Some of the questions are so obvious, though, aren't they? But the other day, walking home, I saw a motorcyclist being hit by a car. Everyone was fine. This isn't a tragic story. Everyone was fine. And I was first on the scene. And because I'd just passed my theory test, I knew... The way to deal with it was not to give the injured motorcyclist a warm drink. It was not D, warm drink. It was A, ask if they can breathe. You might have died.
Good job you were there, yeah. Has that been helpful?
Can warm drinks kill you?
It's pretty much what I've been doing already, so yeah, okay.
Not giving motorcyclists warm drinks.
Yeah.
Move to London, that's my tip.
Or get a bike.
To drive here.
Is Andrew in the audience? Andrew, whose mum has a new husband. Andrew says, my mum has a new husband. He is painfully stupid. He looks like a Goomba from the Mario film. He keeps stating factoids to impress me. They are always wrong. I just smile and nod. Should I tell him he's a fucking idiot? Keep smiling. What sort of factoids does he tell you?
Does he say, here's a factoid? Or is factoid your word?
No, it's my word. He wouldn't understand that word.
You prick.
Does he ever say, here's a factoid about shagging your mum? which, if you're honest, is what the question is about.
What's stupid? What's he doing, Andrew?
So he insists that the best angle to watch on a widescreen TV is from the most acute possible angle. So he's actually rearranged the furniture.
Oh, my God, I'm having that. I am totally having that. That's amazing.
How long were they together before they got married?
2 years.
Did you express any dislike for him?
I just see him once a year.
Once a year?
Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a kind.
Yeah, suck it up. Is that how often you see your mum as well?
She comes here once a year.
Okay. Well, so you see your mother twice a year?
I suspect she's quite lonely, so I suspect that she's found a man. If she's found a man, I think fair play to her.
Buy her a dishwasher.
Is this the first serious partner your mum's had since her and your dad broke up?
There's been a few.
Why is this not a podcast?
I just imagine my son in 10 years' time sitting in the comedy club going, I've got a problem. My mum's a fucking moron.
Shappy's crying again.
Andrew, I just asked to see his penis and that might sort everything out. So, Andrew, who would you give points to on the panel for helping you with your problem?
I suppose Richard was the most correct. And Shappy was very thoughtful as well.
So that's everyone.
Yeah. Except you.
From Luke Smith. Is Luke here? Luke's problem is people think I'm cute but not boyfriend material.
Oh. Wow, you're the first person that's ever happened.
I didn't write that.
Oh, who wrote it?
They wrote it on my behalf.
Is it true?
It's true.
So what happens then? Do you take him out for a night out? And
we went out last night and I kissed a girl and then
we're all really
And then Dan, who sat to my left, asked her
what she thought of you.
Why did he ask?
I don't.
Well, you don't say, what do you think of me, after you've kissed someone, do you? Or do you? What do you think of me, eh?
Sorry, so Dan asked what she thought of you.
And then she said, he's cute but not boyfriend material.
And did you like him?
Yeah.
Was it Andrew's mum?
Are you one of those guys that goes to a girl, it's your round now?
No, I don't think so.
What do you mean?
Well, okay.
No one has ever said that to me.
Gosh, it's never got to a second round.
I've never spoken to a boy, to be honest.
I had this boyfriend that was kind of great in every way, but he was really tight in that he earned shitloads more than me, but I always paid for everything. And then finally we broke up, and then we went to the pub for a chat about it all, and he said, actually, look, I've realised that I've been silly and you're the girl I want to marry. And I went, whoa, this is not a 5-minute conversation. Go to the bar, get a drink, and we'll talk about this. Through his tears, he said, but it's your round.
Nick, have you had girlfriends in the past?
Yeah.
I do. I've got a mate called Rowena.
Cool.
You like her? Rowena is just turned 21. She's an actor.
Oh, Jesus.
Seriously. There's one rule I could pass to my children, don't date actors. I think any, by and large, any woman that says someone's not boyfriend material is not girlfriend material.
I think she's a dick.
You know those women who say, you know what, if you can't handle me at my worst, then you don't deserve me at best. Oh, fuck off.
You can ask how old you are.
23.
Okay, you just need to wait 10 years and every woman desperate for a baby will be all over you.
So who's been the most helpful?
I suppose Shappy's sorted me a date, so...
What an actress! You moron!
Round of applause for everybody in the audience who gave us their problems.
Yeah, thank you.
Michael and Richard have 4, Margaret and Shappy have 6.
Woo! At this point in the show, I usually call the panel idiots and invite an expert to show up their ignorance, but it's tricky with Richard Osborne on the panel. Can I just say Ben wrote this? He's really desperate to get on Pointless. Nonetheless, it's time to ask the expert.
Ask the expert.
You. So let's welcome today's trained professional, it's expert butler Malcolm. Malcolm's a real life butler! Why did you decide to go into butlering?
There's something I always wanted to do.
Why?
I don't know.
No.
Honestly, why would you always have wanted to be a butler? Mm-hmm. Did you have a very underwhelming view of yourself while reading Batman? Not even Robin, for fuck's sake!
Always Alfred.
You're so brilliantly diplomatic.
Yeah.
I think you're a wonderful butler. The way you half closed an eye when you wanted to call someone a wank.
Who do you butler for, Malcolm?
I'm not at the moment.
Oh, you're like a freelance butler?
Yes, yeah.
Would you on Gumtree?
If you're an out-of-work butler, do they call you, I can't believe it's not butler?
Has anybody got any further questions they would like to ask Malcolm?
What's your favourite tray?
I do like a silver tray. About 3 foot by foot and a half.
There you go, you see? So here is our first scenario for Malcolm. Malcolm is working as a butler for the Duchess of Skegness. The Duchess is due home any minute from her afternoon being sick into bins at Skegness Fair, because they do all smell of sick. But before she returns, two police officers arrive looking pissed off. It's the younger one's first day on the job, and he lets slip that Skeggy is wanted for murder. Malcolm explains that she isn't in, so the coppers decide that they're going to have a sit-down and a posh waz. And ask him some questions instead. What would Malcolm do in this situation? Shappy?
Oh, this is like when I was on Question Time and they came to me first with a question about Northern Ireland.
Oh, it's Michael. No, it's Michael then. Michael, if you were a butler,
In Northern Ireland.
And someone is asking you where your lady is.
In Northern Ireland.
Because she's wanted for murder.
Well, in Northern Ireland, I'd say nothing. Do you know what Hampshire grass is?
But also, I don't think the police say, hello, your lady's wanted for murder. Is she in? You know, you don't
necessarily
know. All
right, we've got a different way here. Your lady's wanted for murder. Is that what you want to hear?
Young policeman, and he's let slip that the lady is wanted for murder.
But if he wants to question Malcolm on the record, he has to say that it's for murder anyway. Yeah. So he would do. And Malcolm, we know for a fact, would say nothing. It's not his place, is it? He's not a spokesman, he's a butler. That's his job. He says, if you want to wait, by all means wait, but it may be a long time. He'll go into the back room, he'll text the Duchess of Skegness.
The Duchess of Skegness? She doesn't have a phone.
She's got a phone.
She nicked it. He will text or message Duchess of Skegness to say, so you know, there are police officers in the drawing room. If you wish to come home, do so, but I suggest you get legal representation when you do.
Is that close, Malcolm?
It's exactly as Richard said, pretty much.
What if you know for sure she did murder someone?
How would I know for sure?
You saw it.
She texted you a photo.
During it.
She texted me.
With a load of emojis. Dancing lady!
Ghost!
Yeah, a person, then a knife, then a ghost.
Let's try the second scenario for Malcolm. Malcolm is working for billionaire businessman Wayne Bruce. One day, Mr. Bruce tells Malcolm he's decided to become a vigilante crime fighter, styling himself on Fearsome Creature of the Night, the Badger. Alongside all Malcolm's usual butlering duties, Mr. Bruce expects him to work 24 hours, 7 days a week to help build a high-tech operations centre, or the Badger Set, as it is known, for his new alter ego, Badger Man. What would Malcolm do in this situation?
Why is he working 24 hours a day when badgers are nocturnal?
Malcolm, do you have to do weird things for your people that you butler for?
Yeah, obviously.
What's the weirdest thing you've done? Just tell
us. Yeah, what's the weirdest thing you've done?
It's all weird, isn't it?
That is true.
Did they ever go, Malcolm, I'm really tired tonight, but I really want to be wanked off, but my arm is so sore from weightlifting. Can you do it for me?
I've not had that personally. I've heard something similar for a colleague of mine.
What happened?
Well, apparently he caved in.
He caved in?
Yeah.
Wow, that must have been quite a sight.
One of your butler friends wanked off their employer.
Yeah, a bit further than that, but...
Somehow full sex isn't as dirty.
No, I agree! I was just thinking that!
Because there's some emotion
involved
in a proper sexual
thing. Yeah, they fancied each other.
So, Malcolm, if you were asked to build a hive of technology for a vigilante employer, would you be up for that?
You are asked to work all hours.
Yeah.
You seem very resigned about your job. There's a real sense of, oh. Have you ever butlered for a member of the royal family?
I have, yeah.
What? Which one?
No?
I'm not telling you.
Okay, was it...
Are
was
they
it
dead?
An older one, a trivial one, or the, ooh, I've fallen down the stairs again one? You know, the accident-prone one.
Have they ever been exposed as a Nazi in the honour hall? We need to narrow it down.
Thank you to our expert, Father Malcolm.
See yourself out.
And what are the scores produced, Ben?
Michael and Richard now have 5. Mara and Chappie have 6.
Like Jeb Bush versus Baby Hitler, it's time to do the wrong thing.
Do the wrong thing!
In this final round, I want the panellists to tell me what is the wrongest thing to do in any given situation. The winner gets a jar of my boyfriend's homemade nut butter.
You're all right.
the round ends when producer Ben can't take any more. So the first one is, the British Library want to archive all your sex dreams. What is the wrong thing to do?
Tell them you can only have the incest ones.
That's
the wrong thing. I've had one, it was the worst. Sorry.
Was it your dad?
Yeah, which one of your parents do you love the most?
Could have been a sibling, I'm just asking.
Hot hey, cousin. listen. The guy fought in the
That's
war.
That's not incest.
Hey!
He's been in enough horrible trenches.
Can I just say, my dad is not that old.
You find a spare bell end growing out of your back. What is the wrong thing to do?
I would say dress it up in a suit and make it run for president.
All of the James Bonds really fancy you. What is the wrong thing to do?
Fuck them.
Only fuck George Lazenby.
A child asks you the secret of happiness. What's the wrong thing to do?
Show them your spare bell end.
You can break any toilet just by looking at it. What's the wrong thing to do?
Do one of those comic relief films and do that. They've done such incredible work here. Your money has gone on building clean sanitation for this entire village.
That's the best answer all night. Well, as John McLean said once, you throw quite a party. What are the final scores, Ben?
The final scores are very exciting. Margaret and Chappie have 7, but Michael and Richard have 9.
No! No! Well, you are Michael and Richard. Thanks for listening to the show. Goodbye. Do the Right Thing featured Chappie Call Sandy, Richard Osman, Margaret Cable Smith, Michael Legg, expert guest Malcolm the Butler, and me, Danielle Ward. I devised it with producer Ben Walker, and we put the script together with extra material from David Reed. Martin White did the music. Thanks to The Phoenix for having us, and to Natasha Caffrey, Katie Story, and Imogen Sever for helping out. Do the Right Thing is a Fuzz production for the internet. Hello, my name is Danielle Ward from the podcast Do the Right Thing, which you may or may not have heard of. I am taking a show to the Edinburgh Fringe this year. It is called 17 and it is on at the Just the Tonic Caves at 2:40 every day except for the 15th, but that's just admin.
What's it about?
It's about topics such as sending hate mail to Gary Barlow, pubic hair, the ghost of Graham Chapman. Thanks. Bye.
Would you like us to advertise your show?
Yes, you do it now. You do one.
Hi, we're Danielle Ward, and we have a show at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year.
This is the worst episode of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
And you can come and see my show, 17, at 2:40 at Just the Tonic Cave.
Not the 15th.
Not the 15th. You can come on the 15th, but you'll be up Fuck Creek.
Tickets are £6.
Who the hell are you?
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.